Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. Welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show. My name is Clara Lyons Devon, and I am your host this evening for Vision Works. I am really excited because I'm in hot California, and I'm just having a fabulous time here, so I'm broadcasting out of my normal element. But for those of you who are new to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, I just want to let you know that we broadcast every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and the second and fourth Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Vision Works, which is the name of this segment, is an opportunity for people to share how they are living and implementing their vision in the community and around the world. And I'd like to take a moment for those of you unfamiliar with the International Black Summit to tell you a little bit about who we are. The International Black Summit is a gathering of people of different descents, from different backgrounds, different countries, lifestyles, opinions, and views who come together to celebrate and to empower the vision of the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We explore questions and issues which empower our participants to realize their vision for the Black community and for the world. And we meet usually at an annual event the first weekend in August. And this year we'll be meeting in London, England. I believe the dates are July the 30th through August the 2nd. I'd like to share with you the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our body, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. And this declaration statement was created at the first formal summit event, which was held in Atlanta, Georgia, in 1991. So the summit is of age now. At 18, going on 19 years old, and Vision Works, which was the segment I'm hosting tonight, is an opportunity to allow for the public expression of the many contributions at work that reflect the manifestation of this particular declaration. Tonight, we're going to be talking about how we create unpredictable results, that part that is demonstrated by the visions of our guest tonight. And tonight is also special because, as I said, I'm in California. If you hear laughter in the background, that's my sister friends. I'm for those of you who participate in a sister circle, you know the power of love, encouragement, and support that a sister circle provides. So they are outside continuing on as I host the show here this evening. Several of my guests tonight are going to share about how they were able to create unpredictable results that resulted in some phenomenal adventures, you know, adventures where they were able to experience and see things that many of us have not done or have not seen. And like my guests, myself, and some of the folks I talked to on this particular trip to California, sometimes in the moment it's really hard to appreciate the value and the greatness, you know, of the experience as we're going through it. And, you know, you say, what is that? What is that? Why do we have difficulty appreciating the value, the beauty, the fabulousness of the moment? You know, when where in life do you fail to see and appreciate the value and the beauty of the moment? In the course of my visit here in California, I've had the opportunity to engage with many people, and this recurring theme or question keeps popping up, so I'm introducing it into the show tonight so that it can get fully expressed. I would like to welcome and thank everyone who's listening live tonight, and if you would like to call in with comments or with questions, the call-in number is 646-716-9827. You can also listen via the web at www.blacksummit.org/talkshow. And my guest has not dialed in as of yet, but I want to open up the phone line. We do have a caller on area code 347. Are you there?
Yes, this is Glenn Greenwich. Good evening.
Hi, Glenn Greenwich. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. I am wonderful. I'm trying to close this window. I'm getting the activities from outside, but glad that you're able to call in and to be with us this evening on Vision Works.
Thank
you. You're welcome. Do you have an experience that you would like to share with our listening audience about one of your adventures, say someplace that you've been, if you can close that window, someplace where you've been where, you know, away or some experience that you've had? And kind of, you know, what prompted you to go that, and if you noticed any differences between what you expected and what you actually experienced while you were there.
Well, let's see. Let me see where this. It's almost every place that I go. What I'll point to is the International Black Summit, the event in the last year.
Mm-hmm. In Anguilla.
In Anguilla, I couldn't think of Anguilla. Yes. So one of the things about going to Anguilla for me was that because I am part of the production team and I work with the youth. I'm usually not sure exactly how things are going to go and how I'm going to set up and how many people are going to show up. And so I usually get to the event, let me talk specifically that one. So I got to that event and I was a little, you know, one of the things that I was worrying about is I was a little short on money, so I wasn't sure if I was going to have enough to support myself so that I didn't have to put any attention on that, and I could put all my attention on the coursework that needed to be done. And, of course, so I had all these conversations in my head, and when I got there, I went and did, you know, I purchased some groceries and some things so that I could actually not have to go out to dinner because we were provided a little, you know, little kitchenette and stuff. So I did some things to, you know, be able to reduce some my expenses. And so once doing that, and I noticed that then I had forgotten a couple of things, you know, I think I'd forgotten, I don't know, deodorant or something. So once I'd made all those purchases, and then I felt comfortable, then I noticed that my attention, and just for the listeners who just want to underline, noticing is that one of the distinctions that we use at the International Black Summit. But noticing allows me to kind of view myself outside of myself, so I'm able to kind of see the situation one layer removed, as you know, as an observer. So when I noticed that I had done all those things, what I noticed about myself was that I was now able to just focus on the coursework that needed to be done, and I had very little or no attention on my expenditures and how much money I had and so on and so forth. So there was something about being able to provide that for myself that I was actually able to now enjoy the time that I was there. But up until that point, all I was worried about was, am I going to have enough money to sustain myself? Am I going to have extra expenses, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And here I am living on this beautiful bay. The water is crystal clear. I can see my toes in it. And these gorgeous sunsets. But I really couldn't get into it until I handled myself.
Mm-hmm. That's really great. So you were saying what took you to Anguilla, is a very beautiful, beautiful island in the Caribbean, was the International Black Summit workshop and your accountability there as the youth, for your accountability for the youth summit, and that what you also took with you that was kind of blocking being able to appreciate the beauty and the value of the place were your current concerns and your considerations around finances.
Correct.
So you had an expectation to, you know, live a particular way while you were there to handle that concern. And looking back on the experience, what you discovered is, one, you were in a very, very beautiful place. And I'm reading into what you're saying, you didn't say it directly, but basically everything that you needed was already provided for you.
I'm actually going to say it even more strongly, I actually had money to come home with. But that wasn't my conversation in getting there. And once I'd gotten my insanity about it, or my conversation to quiet it, I was able to now be fully present to the location and the beauty that was available, and that it was an opportunity to be on vacation. Now, we work long hours at putting the event together, but that didn't mean that I couldn't get up early and go out for a run in the morning and then swim before I came back and showered and had breakfast and then went to the event. So, I mean, I had to look at the opportunities and really create the great vacation that I was on, even though, you know, it wasn't a full vacation, but it was a vacation for me because I was able to work through all the things that I had to do.
Awesome, awesome. You know, so for our listeners, we're talking about our experiences and where in life do we fail to see and appreciate the beauty of the moment until we, one, look back on it later as a memory, or two, someone else or a travel brochure tells you, you know, kind of how great it is. You know, what is that? And, you know, what kind of unpredictable results could show up if we became, you know, more grateful about the moment and how those things unfold. So you're listening to Vision Works, which is, you know, one of several programs that on the International Black Summit talk show that airs every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6:30 on the second and fourth Tuesday. And tonight we're really exploring places we've been or things that we've done that were great, but in the moment they really didn't see we really didn't see or appreciate all the greatness. And we have another caller on the line, area code. Oh, there's no area code. Shakesha, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm probably not coming online. The computer mic or something is having all of the voices sound a little bit different. But I assure you this is Acacia from Compton.
Yeah, do you have a story to share where, you know, looking back, you can see, you can now see the value and appreciate the experience in a totally different life? And you know I want to hear about Belize, so.
Well, first I do want to kind of clear her face so I can present to our wonderful colleague. I'm sitting here with my cell phone unlocked, and I'm trying to unlock it so I can call you guys, so I'll and for some reason, it will not unlock. The things that are happening there for me. No, but I definitely wanted to talk about my trip. Please, the minute I heard you say that sometimes, you know, you're not to. And just the first thing that came to my mind was on a trip, being a parent, a mother, and you know, the whole thing of being in motherhood and being children and like missing that moment. I fantastic children, and I'm just reminded of when my old son was just about to start high school, and he had all these concerns about him in high school and where his life. And all of those kind of things, and so I couldn't be present to the brilliance of him and the brilliancy of being mother of him because I kept worrying about, you know, will he be successful? That seemed to be the thing in the back of my mind. Not be present to like the joy of what we were doing right in that moment. And the biggest thing that came up for me was, you know, what if he fails? For me, at that time, in fact, he just earned 29 on the 16th of this month. So you know, we're talking a few years back. But the worst thing to me that he liked was him laying in the street, in the alley, like drunk, just laying there. I mean, I still see it, the visual picture that I had of him just laying in the alley. He's got the shoe with a hole in it, you know. I mean, I had a whole visual picture. I was just always worried, like, you know, what happens to him, you know. Oh, my God, oh, my God. And the moment was saying that I got a chance to see myself, or as I like to say, watching myself outside the window of my I'm peeking in the window of my life. And when I saw that, what I was busy about, I just asked myself one question. And the question was, would I love him less?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the answer came back, no, I wouldn't love him less. And the moment I answered that question, it was gone. I was willing for him to succeed. You know, I was just willing for him to live his life. And for me to enjoy watching him live my life. And the moment I was in that space, you know, everything altered. And so many of you guys know my son's a talented actor. I went 2 years ago to New York to see him perform on Broadway. He's living his dreams. You know, he's performed Shakespeare part. He's married to a beautiful Summit sister, Akila, you know, for more. But I noticed I was living in, you know, my head. And just the distinction of noticing when I got a chance to just stop and, you know, just look at what you're looking at. You know, the moment I was released from that. So
it's actually, this is really great.
I was traveling.
Say again?
Yeah, even though I wanted to talk about traveling, you know, one of the most beautiful sights to me of all of the things I've ever seen is see all three of my children be happy.
Mm-hmm. This is really, really great because both you and Glenn have shared something, well, you know, one of the distinctions that we have in the summit around noticing, and also in being present in the moment, like when we, you know, when we look back, we can see the value, but in the moment of it, you know, this whole idea of creating unpredictable results. And when, you know, the declaration speaks to when we take a stand, regardless of what it looks like in the moment, of speaking or thinking or engaging in a different outcome, you know, regardless of what it looks like in the moment, that's the creation of an unpredictable result. And as you shared, I don't know if, you know, people could quite understand what all of what you were saying was that, you know, you saw your son in a drunken state, so to speak, and now, you know, for people who know him now, being an actor on Broadway, being a married, a father, you know, this really stand-up guy in the community and the society, I'm sure in that moment that's not what it looked like, you know. But
well,
as a mother creating or seeing something more than that, than what appeared to be there. And one of the things I wanted to share was in a relationship where the guy that I was with at the time was having a substance abuse issue. And I was like, you know, I was like, okay, I was going to walk away. And I was like, well, what if this was one of, you know, my girlfriends? What would I do differently? And what I would do differently, I'd want to get them help. You know, I'd want to see what I could, you know, to do to support them to get to a different space than that space. And so out of that experience, you know, I really learned the value of unconditional love, of a true friendship. I also learned how to distinguish, you know, signs of a mental disease, and also how to set boundaries, because, you know, you can only do so much, and then people have to do for themselves, because at the end of the day, it's their lives. But there's, you know, in every experience,
what?
You know, this whole experience, the, you know, the adventure of, you know, I'm calling it relationship, but life's a series of relationships. You know, we have relationships with people, we have relationships with places, we have relationships with things, and, you know, being able to notice in any particular moment what's occurring and to value it or to get the beauty out of it, and also to be able to see past it to create, you know, new things and new experiences and new adventures is really very powerful.
Right, and the other thing that I wanted to just really clear in it is what I was looking at wasn't really happening. The time that I was experiencing this, my son was a student. He was about to attend Hollywood High School, which is the high school that many actors and actresses that we see in Hollywood, Judy Garland went there, just a whole bunch of actor and actress gone there, and that's what was really happening in his life. He was about to attend this very prestigious high school, but I was not living in that moment. I was living in my concern, or, you know, I was living in my fear, you know, versus living in the moment, and in the moment's joy. And that's what I got present when I actually asked myself the question, is it applicable for me? It just popped and brought me really to reality of everything fine. There wasn't anything wrong. Not in the moment, but in my thinking and my link to the past. that's where all of the concern, frustrations, and fears were, you know, as they passed back. So point I really see is, you know, living in the moment. You know, whether that moment might, if you're saying, look great or not, inside of that moment is where life really is.
So you said inside the moment is where life really is. Like inside the present moment is where life really is. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Awesome. I was I attended church this morning with a friend of mine, and the pastor there was sharing a story of a roommate from college who actually was also a roommate to Tyra Banks when she was in school, and said at the time, you know, you need to pick another career. You're not, you know, you're strange looking. You're not going to be a model. Just kind of give it up. And now that person is an attorney, an entertainment attorney, and she, and Tyra, of course, is a supermodel or and has her own show and is, you know, doing her thing in the modeling industry. And sometimes, you know, we listen to things outside of ourselves, or we don't. Thank goodness in Tyra's case that she didn't. They kind of don't really lend themselves to what our visions are, you know. And your son had a vision for his life in acting. I'm sure you had a vision for his life as his mother. You know, Glenn has a vision for the youth who are coming up in the International Black Summit and all of the possibilities that exist for their life. And I think, you know, in being, you know, staying grounded in the moment and noticing, continually noticing the value in the moment of people's possibility and our own possibility really creates those results in the future. It's just amazing to me when I think about it.
Yes, and going back to your original question, and kind of bring it to the present, so we're going to be in London in 2009, and one of the things I love about participating in a summit is creating life. I literally create life inside of the summit, like my summit. And so, you know, I'm already in life. Now, I've never been forward. I've never been outside of the
Say that again. It didn't quite come through.
I said I've never been in London, other than fly into London. I ever go out of the airport. You know, if I've had at least layers. And why do I just sit in the airport? So even though I think I've been in London at least 2 to 3 times, I've only seen inside of the airport. So at this year, it's 2009, and I'll be here with the summit. So I've literally already in London. One of the things that I'm excited about is it breaking up?
Yeah, it's breaking up. So you said you literally what in London?
That I'm looking for creating something around youth and education and leadership. Because those are the things that I love and they always show up around me. Mm-hmm. Actually getting to have a one-day conference in London for young people. I've never done that before, and especially not in London. But those are the...
Oh, we lost you again. So what I heard Shakesha saying was that she wanted to create a leadership and education workshop in London around the time that the summit event is going to be. And the other thing I heard her say is that she got living her life out of the summit. One of the things I want to share about Shakesha that I really admire is Shakesha continually creates her life inside of the summit conversation and exhibits unpredictable results. So she had shared that she had a vision of going to Belize, of going to New Orleans and two other places, and she is now on the second leg of her trip, has been able to accomplish that, and also has spoken that doing an event for the youth in London as part of, or I should say in addition to the youth summit that goes on there and the adult summit. And I believe that all of that is going to happen for her just based on who she's being in the world and how life shows up around her declarations. Yeah. So
you mean like a summit chair?
I think what Shakesha was speaking was something actually broader than a summit chair.
Okay. So like with the leadership and such, yeah.
Yeah, like a leadership event for the youth in the London location, yeah. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, that should be very powerful. I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wanted to go back to Anguilla with you, Glenn, because I also had a conversation of how am I going to get to Anguilla. And really stood in the intention of that I was going. Didn't quite in the moment know how I was going to do that. And my husband totally stepped up and provided all of that for us, and we were able to go. And like you stayed in a very beautiful place overlooking the water and the beach. Mm-hmm. And had a phenomenal experience inside of just making a declaration. You know, so one of the number one or one of the key things that's really valuable in, you know, creating vision, or one of the pieces of it, is initially having an intention, setting an intention, you know, making that declaration about you know, what you want to do and how you want to do it, and moving forward with it.
Yeah, one of the other things I wanted to speak to is part of that, because the intention is definitely, is like, I went there with a particular intention of having fun and having it be easy, and I was able to deliver that result out of that intention purely. And we talked a little bit about noticing. But the other part is declaring. So I actually have to clear myself. And that's another one of the distinctions of the International Black Summit. I actually have to clear myself and clear out that noise and that fear and that negative conversation so that I can appreciate the beauty of Anguilla, the beauty of that moment. Because what I was able to do, and I sort of am able to do, is when I clear myself, I now can be present to what's going on around me. And for me, that's the only way that I really can appreciate, you know, what's happening. You know, what's happening around me, you know, all the way from the smells in the air, the things that I see, the things that I eat, you know. When I'm present, it becomes a full experience versus I'm just going through the motions of eating or walking or whatever. I can actually stop, you know, they have that cliche, stop and smell the coffee. you know, what really is being present to the moment, being present to what people are saying, being present to what is available fully in that, and not just having blinders on, but being able to take in things that I didn't even think that I could take in. So that clearing process enables me to be able to like a sponge, get all that. Whereas before the clearing, I'm a saturated sponge. I can't take in anymore.
Right.
And when I'm clear, I just kind of squeeze out all that stuff, and then I've got room for everything else to show up.
Both you and Keisha talked about the process of a clearing, and you know, for people who might be listening, like, you know, that and how you do it. Keisha was saying she was having some difficulties with.
I'm back now.
Oh, great, and we also have another guest as well. But I want to complete on this thought of clearing. You know, just being able to identify, or as both of us, just notice what are those things that are blocking from being able to show up fully in your moment. How do you identify what the things are that, you know, Diglin blocks you from enjoying fully or experiencing fully? I have another guest here. Who has a wonderful adventure. Yes, you! Oh, with now just listening. Listening to the show. Okay, that's great. So we're talking about this process of clearing. I was hoping that she would share about her experience going to Half Dome, but I guess not today. Not today. Not today. But Keisha, you said you're back.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Great. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate that.
Yes. Hello. I feel like myself now. Because I've heard.
I'm myself now.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just so excited to be back in the United States. I'm always amazed at how excited I am when I come back to the United States. Because, you know, I think I keep this little conversation going from the past about, you know, the United States. It's okay, but it's got these problems. But I notice every time I go away for long periods of time that there's a lot of gratitude that I have about living in the United States that I don't own, you know, actually take ownership for. So, yeah, that's good. Yeah, so really owning that I am an American, that I am from the United States, and that I do enjoy being from the United States, even with the different things that, you know, I want to see shifted. But I guess what's coming up for me is my experience as a teacher is that I get a lot of students as a teacher that I'm not totally pleased with them, but that I always love them. And, you know, I'm getting very present to that analogy to the United States. That it may not always be doing what I want it to do, but that I do really love the United States. So, you know, that's a first. That's a first for me to actually really own that and be present to that. So I'm happy to be back from Belize, Central America. It was just amazing, you know. And as you said earlier, Clay, I just want to really thank the work of the summit that, you know, has me create my life like this. I mean, I've just been having a rip-roaring good time and just wonderful experience in belief. I wanted to share something funny right away. Is I totally appreciate washing clothes now. I love the washing machine, and I love the dryer. Because in Belize, there are women who go to the river and wash clothes on the rock. Now, I didn't quite have to do that, but I had to do like an almost five-step process to wash my clothes, including hanging them on the clothesline, and be very concerned about what time of day I hang them out and make sure I get them in before it starts to rain. And how you do, you hang your unmentionables on the clothesline. And, you know, just lots of things were involved in washing clothes more than just, you know, going to the washing machine and dropping the clothes in. So that's something I really learned a lot about. And I'm very pleased with washing machines in the States.
You know, that's so interesting. When I took my niece to Africa for the first time that I went, and I was in Ghana, and when we got back stateside, we landed down in Detroit, and my niece got down on her hands and knees in the airport. She's 16, mind you, and kissed the ground. She kissed the ground because I think going abroad really makes us appreciate the conveniences definitely that we have and value the things that we take for granted every day. The simple things like turning on the light switch and the power is there to support what it is, you know, you want to do in that particular moment. So I can totally relate to that part of your sharing, Shakesha. Thank you for that.
Yes, yes. And we did have days where we would go 6 hours without electricity. The electricity would just go out. And the water would go off. You know, it all come back on. You don't know exactly when. But, you know, that would happen. You know, but really, really great things happened too. I was with this fantastic family. Hopefully next month I'll be able to get it up on my show. The interview, I was with the Ellis's in Belize. And one of the things, the ways that I describe them is think of the Kennedys in the United States, and that's who the Ellis's are in Belize. Their family spans a long decade of time, decades, starting from her her mother, you know, all the way to her granddaughter. And what was interesting is you had four generations of women living in the same house, and that was something to really behold, to talk, you know, I had the opportunity to talk to the grandmother, the mother, the daughter, and then the granddaughter. And we would be interacting all together in, you know, one space of time. And, I mean, I'm just like overwhelmed with who this granddaughter will be just from that fact of living in the household with three generations of women, you know, from her family, and what, you know, they're sharing with her. And as we said earlier, we talked about the word clearing as to get rid of something. And then there's the word clearing as a noun or location. So with her being in the house, that's a clearing for her to be in that space with those three women. And, you know, I can just already see it. She's like 3 years old, but you think she's seven. 2 days before I left Belize, I looked at her because her birthday's going to be May, oh, shucks, it's after mine, something like May 6th or May 9th. And I looked at her and I went, oh, my gosh, you're only 3 years old. You know, because I interact with her like she's seven because she has this vocabulary. She's always involved in what we're doing. She's, you know, coaching, just everything, and she's only like three. And so it's just amazing already. I can see what being with those three women is providing her, the clearing that she's growing up in. So that was just beautiful to walk throughout Belize. And I traveled, I literally went from one tip of Belize coastal area all the way to the bottom. And in each of those areas, when I would meet people, I would mention their the Ellis's name, and people would know of them from, you know, different generations. So that was just amazing. I was on Belize TV. I got to meet the First Lady of Belize.
Awesome.
So just really great things.
That is really, really awesome. So, you know, looking at the experience, you know, coming, like being stateside and looking back, what would you say was the most phenomenal thing about Belize? And if you put it into the perspective of your summit experience, you know, what distinction or what part of the declaration showed up for you, like, really powerfully while you were there?
Mm. Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of questions.
Yeah,
sorry.
So it's not like it won't be one thing, but a couple of things stood out for me, especially the line of community whole and complete, and all communities whole and complete. Belize is very interesting because when I went there, I was looking for all of the examples of black people, you know, African people, you know, the being people of African descent. And, you know, there's like pyramids every three steps. Every three steps you make in Belize, there's a pyramid. But they're Maya in pyramid. So, you know, I was like, well, where's all of our stuff? And I don't see this, and I don't see this, and where's our presence? And one of the things I really got to experience in my stay is one of the things that Belizeans, there's like three distinct areas or ethnics or groupings. One is the Mayas, and then you have the Garifunas, which is the African descent piece. And then you have a combination of Asian and all other things being there in Belize. But actually the Garifuners, I'm saying it wrong, it's Garifuners, actually came from St. Martin, where they had been moved because as a group of African people, they couldn't be conquered. And England actually went into a partnership with them that says, we can't conquer you, but would you mind if we just move you? And they actually moved to St. Martin, and then there's something about Honduras. But their presence in Belize is a presence of just being. The mother... the grandmother of the family, one of the things she talked to me a lot about is division. She said, everybody wants a piece of something. And she says, what if we just could all just exist? But he's got to have, you know, like, this is my piece, that's your piece. And, you know, I got to really see how the Belizeans of the Garifunas actually are being a beingness. You know, that's really amazing that their distinction as a people in Belize was one of the distinction of beingness, you know, what it is to be, you know. So that was one of the things I noticed. And the other thing is around spirituality. A lot of people in Belize are Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And just like what the Catholic Church plays in their life, and, you know, you have all of the things about, you know, the role of the priest, and, you know, they're all familiar with the conversation of, you know, sexual abuse that, you know, occurred at the hands of the priest and all of those types of things. And one of the things that my friend Cynthia Ellis shared with me was, she said, I'm not leaving my God because of them. She was like, that's their issues. the priest and all of that, and, you know,
right.
She's not saying it shouldn't have happened. But she made a clear distinction between her God and all of those issues.
Right.
And the way she shared that with me, where I really got it, was she said, what's inside of those churches are my ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
She says, when I go to church, I don't go and see the Pope. She says, I see my ancestors. And the way she said it, I mean, like, I really got that she's with her ancestors. And we had the opportunity when we went to Brazil, where that was shown to, that was shared with me, that the Catholic religion actually became a holding space or a clearing for the African religion, because, like, the 12 saints fit the 12, is it Orishas?
Wow.
Of one religion, how they said what they did was actually hide their religion within inside of that religion, and that when they were practicing the Catholicism, they were actually practicing their religion, and that was very present to me out of what Cynthia shared with me and the way she interacted with the church and how she used it as a civil rights, or, you know, very similar to what we did with civil rights in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing about a spiritual expression was present for me. And it was a lot of things, but those two things come up really big because I see a personal connection. I also see how they were ministering to me, some things that I was looking at in my own personal life.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. We have a caller on 510-459. Do you have a question or a comment? They may be on mute. 510-459, do you have a question or a comment?
Oh, that sounds like a New Orleans number.
Actually, I think 510 is the Bay Area. Well, maybe not. Maybe they're just listening in, which is great. We're kind of at the last few minutes of the show, but I just want to thank you. Oh, actually, 510-459, you have a question or a comment? I see your hand up.
Not a question. Hi, Clara. How are you doing? It's Robert.
Hi, Robert. How are you? Thank you for calling in and listening. I appreciate it. Something
yeah, I just wanted to plug in and just said that it was just interesting, you know, as the speaker, your guest has been going through, like, how the religions are kind of mixed together, and I think the one thing that really stuck out for me, it's like, well, what I normally say is that we're all stuck on this spinning mud ball, going absolutely nowhere. And for the most part, all we argue for is our differences. I just wonder what the planet would be like if we argued for seeing each other in everything, because, you know, we all come from the same tree, and I always liken people to the food. There's very few indigenous foods to different countries, so most of us, the staple food on this planet, we eat the same thing, it's just cooked differently. So I liken the people, the races, the religions to that. So if I take it in such a light that it's not a problem for me to go and have Chinese food or Japanese food and actually enjoy it, why can't I enjoy the rest of the people on the planet in that same fashion? Yeah.
Right. And
so, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to share with our listeners, Robert has had an opportunity, is actually from South Africa, even though he's been in the States for a while, and recently had an opportunity to go back to South Africa and experience it from, you know, I guess a new perspective. So I don't know if you want to share any about that experience. We've been kind of talking about how the, you know, the places that we've been, when we look back, how we can see and value and appreciate the experience in a different light than how it appeared while we were there, you know, actually experiencing it in the moment, and, you know, the value of living our life in the moment to some degree. So if you'd like to share it all about that, that would be great.
Yeah, actually, just really quickly, because I have a tendency to kind of go on and on, and if I get in that mode, please help me out there. What really struck me was in my discovery of me being a black person on the planet or of African descent, there's always been a question at the background about who I am on this planet and in relationship to white people. And so I noticed that most of my struggle I want to find a way to say this so that it's actually clear. So when I went back to South Africa, I went back in the capacity of being a four-day leader, which is equivalent to just under a landmark forum leader. And that had me talking to CEOs of corporations about transforming the conversation race. And what was really amazing was inside of that space, once I let go of my opinion about who white people were, I could then hear their point of view, which I couldn't hear before. And inside of that, it didn't matter where I went in South Africa, white people were eager to tell me how they got to be the way that they are. I mean, from people that were punished as children against playing with black children and then having to go into the army and get the indoctrine of being in the army. And literally, I mean, stories that brought, you know, like people in the rooms to tears. And the irony of that is when I got back to South Africa, I mean, when I got back to the U.S., I was looking because I went through all kinds of emotions as they were explaining to me, you know, like their world has been shaped by the same thing that shapes ours. When it was all said and done, I actually became grateful to the white race because they actually helped me define myself on this planet. Was my struggle against apartheid and everything else, if they were not there to resist me, I couldn't have found myself. So they were all part of the equation, and it's like, and we talked a little bit about that, about what would it be like to just enjoy the journey rather always looking for the destination, because that's where most of the fruit is. It's in the journey. The destination gets there, and as quickly as it's there, it's gone. But what's left is the journey getting to the destination. So I actually didn't expect to get that out of South Africa to where I could actually thank the white people of South Africa because they really, I mean, I got severely tested in my humanity, in my own ideas about who I am as a human being on this planet. And if I look at how I've lived my life, it's always been, I'm not that, I'm this. So then all my struggles have been inside of that arena. And now that I've gotten complete with that, there's the question, then what do you want to do with your life? Because now you get to create it for yourself. Not against not being like a white man or being like a white man, but as you, as a human being on this planet, what is it you're out to accomplish and what would really have you complete this journey like excited to have lived this entire journey. So I think your question is really consistent with what at least has been happening, you know, in my life with the discovery of me first as a human being and second as a black man, you know. So that's about my...
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said that was about my 2 cents.
I think that was worth a million dollars It really was. I appreciate your share, because we're really in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I
liked both Belize and Bahia. And actually, when I was working in South Africa, I went quite a few times to Brazil, because Brazil was only 9.5 hours from South Africa. So went to Aracaju, Fort Lazy, Bahia, and some of the other countries. Yeah, had a good time. Enjoyed it.
Did you say only 9.5 hours?
Well, considering that I was commuting between the U.S., that's a far cry. Because, you know, the flight in of itself is about 24 hours. Then that's mm-hmm. not counting the layover or anything else you got to do, you know, in between. And so when I thought about commuting, because I would work a month and then I'd be off a week, and then I'd work a month and I'd be off 2 weeks, and I would try to come back to the States, and, you know, it takes almost 2 days to get here and with a 10-hour edit time difference, so that it wrecked one's body. You were here 2 days, a little bit of recovery, and then by the time you looked up, it was time to get back. And so 10 hours was a breather. 10 hours all day. And it's all a perspective, by the way, because I used to complain about the freeway traffic here in the Bay Area, Highway 880. Not anymore. Now when it took me 30 hours to commute to where I needed to go. So 880 is nothing now. Yeah.
I hear you. So it's all a matter, you bring up another really good point. In the moment, it's all a matter of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're everything, actually you brought it up in several different points in terms of looking at what you are, I don't want to say comparing yourself against, but holding yourself, what you're mirroring, you know, what mirror you're looking in the moment.
Yes.
Gives you access to something about yourself. And so in the mirror that you were looking at, the South African mirror, and relationship to, you know, being a black man in South Africa, and all of the feeling of the past that you had about, you know, the experiences leading up to when you went back,
mm-hmm.
There was an opportunity to redefine yourself.
Yes.
And look at it, you know, look at the mirror or see a different image in the mirror. I'll say it that way. Also,
Clara?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to come in a moment, for a moment, and kind of speak, share about some things about what I was hearing as Robert was speaking.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's just great being in this conversation. Because when you started speaking, Robert, and when you were saying the piece about there's a thankfulness or a gratitude, you were saying that you see that you wanted to give or acknowledge to white people. You know, at first there was a part of me, and this is what I've been noticing for the year for myself. It's a part of me, and it's not a part of me. I think it's been a part of me so long that I don't realize it's not even a part of me anymore. So a part of me was like almost going, oh, well, wait a minute. I think he's kind of stretching that about he has some gratitude or whatever. But as I was listening to you and then looking in my life, what came up for me was around retirement. So I've been retired 3 years. And when I first started my retirement, you know, I started it inside of, oh, boy, I'll get to do what I want to do.
Hmm.
People won't be telling me what to do, and this job is not going to tell me this, and nobody will get to tell me that. And I was all about describing all these people who were holding me back. I was like, oh, I'm going to be creative. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, because, you know, people have been holding me back. And I've had to fight with people just to be who, the little bit of who I am. but it was all about a struggle. And as the years went through of those 3 years of being retirement, one day I looked at it and I saw all I did was watch TV. And I was like, well, that's okay. But then I was like, but so what have people been holding me back from? And I kept looking at that, and all of a sudden what came up for me was that no one was doing anything to me. You know, when I really looked at it, whatever fight I was having, there literally wasn't anybody there. It was just me fighting. And it was a rude awakening because, like you said, I had spent my life becoming a very good boxer. And then when I got there was no one to fight with, like you say, instead of coming to an answer, I came to a question, which is, if you have no one to fight with, what do you want to do with your life? And, you know, it was a really beautiful feeling to look, to step into that question. So I can see that in relationship to what you were saying, even though, you know, I was saying I felt like a part of me wanted to resist that, but I also saw that there's not even a part of me that wants to resist that. You know, that's, like, that's not there anymore. And sometimes I forget that. You know, I feel like you know, I'm a big woman, I'm a heavy woman, and so I'm always watching shows where the women have lost an extreme amount of weight. And one of the things they all keep saying, you know, when they do different surgeries where they lose 100 pounds to almost 200 pounds, they say they still walk around, still seeing themselves with that weight, even though it's not there. But they're still seeing it. So, you know, I can kind of see that about myself, that I keep saying this is a part of me, and what's really true is that's not a part of me. So, you know, I just want to really thank you for, you know, you did several of the things we've been sharing about, like you noticed things and you were in a certain clearing, and then you actually took on another declaration when you said, who do I want to be? You know, so, and I got to see, you know, some things about my life in it.
Thank you for the opportunity, really. And it's dialogues like this that I think, you know, you could see the shift in humanity if you dared to sit on a mountain and just, like, watching clouds move in and out. That there's something shifting on the planet. You know, you could see the currencies in Europe joining to be a euro, and you could see the Americas struggling to become one. You could see the introduction of Obama in the middle of this, and you look up and you go, now there's a cosmic soup happening. You can smell like gumbo is being cooked. But you can't see the pot, but you can smell the aroma, and you're thinking, look, all I just need is some rice. Because if I can get some on top of this rice, we can do something with this.
Exactly, yes.
This is Glenn. And
hey, Glenn.
One of the things that we're talking about is so great. Is that we're talking about not living the past in the present, but actually living the present from the future. You know, having the present, having the future be now in this moment. It reminds me of I was listening to this gentleman who's you know, multimillionaire, and he's made all his money in investing in real estate. And one of the things that he did for us is he talked about, you know, about trends, and he talked about statistics, and he talked about information, because as an investor, you want to know how to be successful. And he says, but interestingly enough, most people, when they're investing, what they're doing is they're studying the past. He says, now, the past, there's something available in the past, but understand that if investing is like driving a car, when you're looking at the past, you're driving looking at the rear view mirror. He says, the other thing is if you're looking at what's happening now, you're looking out the side view mirrors. Now, the real possibility is to be able to look through the front windshield and determine where things are coming at you and what's going. You know, so the opportunities are for you to look, to drive your vehicle looking through the windshield in terms of where you're going so that you can avoid obstacles in your path. Hmm. So what you're talking about is really, you know, so that analogy is really an analogy for life, not just for investing.
That's really cool. So the bottom line is glancing backward is good as a point of reference, but don't live in the rearview mirror.
Exactly. because you'll hit whatever's in front of you.
In this moment. Oh, this is great.
And the past, and there's nothing you can do about the past. It's complete. It's done. I think you really hit a good point in terms of that it's a reference point. And yes, you know, if you look at a lot of the forward conversations, they always have to do with completing the past so that it's not dragged into the future, so that every time, even if you were, if you lost some money, like in this market, if you had invested with Madoff, it would color you going forward to invest. You'd actually be gun-shy about trusting. So now all of a sudden, you definitely, whatever you're running to in your windshield looks more like your rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, in getting complete with the past is really, really a powerful way of taking, you know, the rearview mirror and using it for what it's worth and then moving, you know, forward. What was really funny was just really quickly, because I started to see that the people I've been dating have been the same woman. I could be blindfolded. And there would be 1,000 women in front of me, and I would go and find that one. So one of the things I took on was going back and interviewing the women that have been in my life just to see what it's like being with me. Now, mind you, when they got done with me, I wasn't even interested in dating me, but but you know. And by the way, I think I'm a good guy, you know, if you heard my version. But what I have been able to do to utilize that past was to inform my new girlfriend who I'm about to move in with. I said, here's what four of the women I've dated in the past long term have said about me, and that's not what I'm committed to. Could you remind me if I do that? And she goes, oh, thank God. That means I don't have to spend all that time trying to figure out. I was like, this is exactly what they said. This is where I check out. But it was a way of getting the past complete so that, you know, it would no longer hold me as a hostage.
Another point that bring up, or we've been kind of saying in peripherals, this whole idea of getting complete.
Yeah.
And, you know, the declaration says, you know, we're all whole and complete in the moment. And
yes.
And hearing all of the conversations that, you know, people have shared for the show tonight, it's, it sounds like completeness is just, you know, letting go of the past. You know, like you're done with it. You've let it go. You're done with it. It doesn't have capacity or the energy. You don't have to keep bringing that energy forward with you. You know, you're complete with it in the moment. It doesn't have power. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And then from that place of, you know, the things of the past not having power over how we're living our life now, it gives us access to be present in the moment. And it gives us opportunity to create, you know, a new vision for the future and to move forward with a new declaration, which gives us, you know, our identity, our... we have a caller on 850-590. Do you have a question or a comment? Or are you just listening today? Yeah, it sounds like someone is just listening, so that's fine. So I kind of want to share a little bit. I've really been enjoying the conversation on the show today, and if you've enjoyed the conversation today, the VisionWorks, or from any of our other shows for the International Black Talk Show Network, you might want to consider attending our annual summit event. And the annual summit is the time when folks from around the world gather to share their lives, to tune up their listening to what life is giving them, and to engage in the process of transforming, who they are, who they're being in the world. The 2009 annual event, you can consider this your personal invitation to attend. It happens the same time each year, which is the first weekend in August. And this year, as we talked about earlier, the summit is going to be held in London, England, July 30th through August the 2nd. If your calendar is already booked for the year, you'd just like to plan ahead. The 2010 International Black Summit event is going to be in Baltimore, Maryland, and again, that's the first weekend in August, which in 2010 is August 5th through the 8th. If you'd like more information about any of the International Black Summit events, if you'd like to become a member of our community, to donate funds, or to register for any of the regional activities or the annual event in London, you can log on to our website, which is www.blacksummit.org. And the International Black Summit Talk Show Network airs every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and also the second and fourth Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. So you can join us again next Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or now that I'm in California, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and Glenn is going to be hosting our Man of the Month program. If you feel like parts of your life are getting derailed and you want to get on track, on first Sundays we have the On Track program with host Henrietta Byrd. Shakesha is back with us the second Sunday of the month with Let's Celebrate, and I'm really looking forward to hearing more about Belize and the experiences there, and Shakesha does an awesome job also incorporating our youth. VisionWorks, the show that you're listening to tonight, airs the third Sunday of each month, and we talk about people living their vision in their community and in the world, so I'd like to invite you back the third Sunday of May as well. And if you need a tune-up on your finances, join us on the Wealth Club. That's our Tuesday night show, and that's the second and fourth Tuesday where we have an array of guests. Glenn is the host, and it's a phenomenal show about things that you can do to get on track with your financing. The International Black Summit Talk Show Network is a wealth of information, and it's really designed to further the conversation of the summit in the areas of empowerment, of transformation, and fulfillment of each person's life purpose and your commitment. If you're a past summit participant and you want to share about how the summit has forwarded you living your vision, And feel free to send us an email at talkshow@blacksummit.org to get on a future show. And if you'd like to share this show or any of our previous shows with your friends and family, you can really listen 24/7 to any talk show segment. Log on to www.blacksummit.org/talkshow. You can download it to your iPod or to your computer, your MP3 player. You can email it to your family or friends. And it's really a great show, and we have some really interesting conversations. I'd like to thank my guests this evening, Mr. Glenn from New York, Mr. Robert from Oakland, Ms. Shakesha from New Orleans, all of the people who are listening live who decided not to have something to say, but I appreciate you listening to the show. All the folks who were in the chat room, thank you for your participation. And I would just, we have about, I added some time to our show, so we have about maybe 10 minutes remaining if any of our guests have any closing remarks. Feel free, let me open your mic so I can hear you. If you have anything that you'd like to share, we have a few minutes left and you can have your closing remarks for the show. Glenn?
Yes, I'm here. Just wanted to, thank you for a great show. It's always useful to notice the things that are stopping you from having a full experience of that trip, in this case, or that person, or that meal, or that view of scenery, or the beautiful smells that we're experiencing. You know, often in life, we have things that are taking us away from life. And I think the thing for me, and one of the things that I enjoy so much about the International Black Summit, is the opportunity to clear myself and to unblock myself so that I can get a full experience of life. And so, you know, for me, every day is a celebration, and I get to celebrate it, and I get to enjoy it, and have an opportunity to be fully expressed in doing so by clearing myself. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you for sharing that. Robert, any closing remarks?
No, it's a great conversation, and I'll definitely be listening. I'll be joining as often as I can. And it's right up my alley. So thank you for inviting me. That's it. Enjoyed everything everybody had to say, and surprisingly not, maybe not, but it's, actually all of it is applicable to my life, and I can see a little bit of everything somebody has said. So that's good. Appreciate you, ma'am.
I appreciate you. Thank you for calling in and sharing. I really got a lot out of your share. We have a guest at 850-590. Do you have a comment or closing remark? Okay, now, Shakesha, are you there?
Yes, I'm back to my disguise voice, back on the computer. I just wanted to thank everybody for a great conversation tonight and invite other callers who actually use our radio show as a way to actually look at certain things in your life. So we were taking trips. If you've always wanted to take trips, and it seems like something is stopping you, or there's other things in your life that you want to actually launch, is to actually use our radio show to actually create that for yourself and allow us the opportunity to look with you on what would it take to have your bags packed for London and in your life. And, that's what we're doing this show, is to engage in conversation with you. So whether you've been to a summit or you've been to many and you haven't been for a while, you know, please join us and let's talk about your life, you know. That's the thing I got from Belief. As much as I want people to be at some events, what I really want is for your life to be as full as you would like it to be. So let's talk about your life.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. I want to thank all of our guests. Thanks for coming in all of the different formats that we have. I want to thank the IDS Talk Show team members who constantly support me, especially now that I'm here out in California visiting, have the show be on today, and everyone who listened, chatted online, or called in to share. Be sure to tune in to the International Black Summit Talk Show next week, same date, Sunday, same time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My name is Sarah Lyons Devon, and I invite you to show up powerfully in your life and share the special gift that God gave only to you. I'll see you in London. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
I didn't know what to say.